Just a quick note, this is our second episode in a little series on elections and how you can game them. The first episode is called Red Map. It's episode number 845. You can listen in any order, and here's the show.
There is a type of person who follows state politics the way that some people follow high school football, and Dan Smith is one of them. Dan is a political science professor at the University of Florida, and in the summer of 2011, he found himself glued to his radio.
These hearings were going on, and I remember listening on the radio to the series of public hearings across the state.
They were hearings about this thing that Florida had just done that was kind of crazy. And not like Florida man marries Burmese python crazy. It was crazy because Florida had just up and become super politically responsible.
The hearings were about this new law that Florida had just passed that could change politics there in a big way.
A very transparent opening of the redistricting process to assure that lines weren't going to be drawn to advantage the Republican or Democratic Party.
Florida is technically a swing state. The population is pretty much split between Republicans and Democrats. But Florida started electing more Republicans in the 1990s. And that was because of gerrymandering, where politicians draw maps in a way that favors their own party.
Both Republicans and Democrats gerrymander, but in Florida at that time, it was the Republicans. And in 2010, the citizens of Florida said enough already. They outlawed partisan gerrymandering.
Technically, this was not great news for the Republican Party. But they said, you know what, citizens of Florida, let's do this. In fact, let's go nuts. You tell us how to draw the maps.
The state legislators put software online where citizens could draw and submit their own maps.
They went on a tour of 26 cities. There were town halls for citizens to share their ideas. And these hearings were packed. They were sometimes standing room only. People would get up and they would testify about how they thought their district should be drawn.
So I would like to see us have a district where the student voice gets heard.
In Hardy County, I definitely would like to see that they keep us with the inland county.
We'd like to be in the same district as all of Clay County.
Something like 5,000 people show up to these hearings. And regular people, regular citizens, they submit nearly 200 maps. It's like everybody is at this big redistricting pep rally. Citizens are putting maps in. Politicians won't stop talking about how their process is
the most open and transparent in Florida's history.
But Dan, that political science professor huddled up to his radio, he's hearing something a little different than everyone else.
And I remember hearing some people that I knew.
Some of the people testifying at these hearings, they're like, hey, I'm average Joe from Jacksonville. And Dan's like,
this guy isn't just an ordinary citizen. He's been working for Republican candidates his whole political career.
Some of these citizens are not really talking like average Joes. Most people, if we're being real, don't even know what district they live in. And yet some of these citizens seem to have strangely specific opinions about their districts.
Speaking about the importance of the I-75 corridor and being on one side and using that as a border for this new district that would be created south of Gainesville.
Dan pulls out a notebook and he starts keeping track of these very knowledgeable citizens.
And after gathering all of this input, the Florida State Legislature releases its newly drawn, most citizen-centric, world's greatest, most nonpartisan maps. And these maps still look pretty gerrymandered.
And I'm not a clairvoyant person. I'm just a cynic. I knew that something was going on. What I didn't realize was the depth of what was going on.
Dan was about to find himself deep inside this mystery. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Karen Duffin.
And I'm Noelle King.
Today on the show, a true political thriller. We are going to follow Dan Smith on his journey to uncover a conspiracy. There will be political operatives, there will be late nights poring over documents, and maps that are perfect, almost too perfect.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor. For one low, transparent fee, Betterment gives you personalized advice and invests your money, working to increase your long-term returns while providing advanced data security. For a limited time, you can get up to 1 year managed for free. The more you deposit, the longer they'll waive your management fee. For more information, visit betterment.com/planetmoney. Betterment. Rethink what your money can do.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, host of How I Built This. And on our latest episode, how Mariam Nafisi turned her online stationery store, Minted, into one of the biggest platforms for emerging artists on the internet. And in the process, transformed an entire industry. You can hear How I Built This on Apple Podcasts or however you get your podcasts.
Okay, so this is early 2012. Florida politicians had gathered all that citizen input and released new electoral maps. Right after those new maps are released,
Florida League of Women Voters has brought a legal challenge to the map of Florida's 27 congressional districts.
The League of Women Voters, a voting rights group, they say, Republicans, not what we agreed to. Courts, make them draw those maps again, but nonpartisan for reals this time.
Right about this time, Dan, who was a registered Republican, gets an email.
I get contacted by the legal team working for the League of Women Voters.
The woman who emailed Dan asked him, can you help us analyze these maps and try to figure out what happened here? Dan is a full-time professor, so he already has a day job and a half. But he's also a state political junkie, and he has very strong feelings about gerrymandering in Florida.
This makes you mad.
Maybe that's because I've always, you know, been a competitive athlete, and I know that I'm not always going to win, but I want to have that chance, and I don't want the deck stacked against me from the get-go.
So he takes this righteous, wonky anger and says, yes, I will help you on my nights and weekends and whenever I can.
It was a lot of piecemeal work that would come, you know, working from home, working in the evenings.
Dan is banging away at this at odd hours of the night in 2012. He's analyzing the maps, and he very quickly zooms in on one specific district, District 5.
And it was clear that that district was the key to the overall Republican gerrymander in Florida.
To understand why that is true and what Dan is looking for, you need to understand District 5. On the map, District 5 looks messy. Kind of looks like someone spilled milk on Florida and just gave it a name. The district drips from Jacksonville all the way down to Orlando.
District 5 is kind of the embodiment of gerrymandering in America. Not all gerrymandering is the same. There's partisan gerrymandering. That's what Florida made illegal. But there's another kind of gerrymandering that courts sometimes actually order.
Like Florida's District 5? That district was conceived and gerrymandered not by politicians, but by the courts because of the Federal Voting Rights Act. It was one of the big civil rights laws of the 1960s, designed to make sure that Black Americans could vote and elect representatives of color.
The law is saying, basically, this is America. In order for Black candidates to win, there have to be enough Black people in the district to elect them. So this weirdly shaped spilled milk District 5 was deliberately created to have enough minority voters so that a minority candidate could win. And after the courts drew District 5, that is exactly what happened.
I'm the first person in 129 years Afro-American has been elected from Florida.
This is former Representative Corinne Brown celebrating her election in 1992.
I come from a district of people who have not been a part of the system.
Corinne Brown, we have to say, is now in jail on fraud charges. But the goal of District 5, it worked. And many African Americans in Florida rejoiced.
So did Republicans. For a really interesting reason, Black voters in Florida tend to vote for Democrats. So packing them into District 5 meant that they weren't voting in, say, District 4 or District 6, which made it easier for Republican candidates to win those now more white districts.
They were putting African Americans in districts that would allow these districts to elect a minority. But as a result, Democrats started losing more seats across the state.
So these packed minority districts like District 5 are good for candidates of color, good for Republicans, but overall not so good for Democrats. Packing districts like this, it becomes a thing. It becomes a strategy for Republicans. Dan knows that one of the best ways to even out the partisan balance in Florida is to unpack District 5, to spread out the Democrats. But when he sees the new maps released by the state legislature, District 5 is not unpacked.
In fact, it's even more packed than before. Dan suspects that this has been done deliberately, and he starts to find proof. A Republican consultant kind of spills the beans on what was happening behind the scenes of the whole redistricting process. The story that the consultant tells explains that weird thing that Dan had noticed while he was listening to the hearings.
Mr. Patton. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alex Patton. I've been following the redistricting debates.
This is Alex Patton. He testified at a public hearing as, you know, a regular Joe citizen. But Dan knows Alex. Alex is a longtime Republican operative.
This consultant explains what's been going on with Alex and with some other people. Republican legislators had been saying, we drew the maps the way the citizens told us. Now Dan learns a small group of Republican consultants drew secret maps, then passed them off to people like Alex, who then testified and submitted the maps like they'd drawn them themselves.
They had effectively smuggled partisanship into the final maps, all in order to have, you know, citizen input that Dan says was for the Republicans to point to later to justify their partisan maps.
These citizen plants like Alex were assigned roles. His role was to act confused. Here he is talking at one of the hearings.
But at the end of the day, I just don't understand the language used in the amendment and exactly what they're trying to intend to do.
Remember, example, this guy has been working in politics for years. But Alex Patton's script didn't just say, act confused. It also contained the Republicans' most important talking point. They want to keep District 5 packed. So here's Alex's script.
However, and I want you to pay particular attention to protect our right to equally proportional districts and the strong gains made by minority participation.
That thing he just said, protect minority gains, that is essentially code for protect areas like District 5. And legislators specifically pointed to statements like Alex's to justify keeping District 5 packed.
Yeah, regular Florida citizens are really concerned about the diversity in District 5.
Right, right. Like, we would love to unpack District 5, but, you know, the citizens have spoken.
When Dan sees this charade, he knows exactly what to do. He needs to find exact matches between maps drawn by Republican consultants, maps submitted by these so-called citizens, and the final legislative maps, the maps that became law. This would prove that partisanship did sneak its way into the final maps and was basically smuggled in by these Republican plants.
Because so many variables go into making any given map, there are literally millions of possible configurations, it is statistically almost impossible for two different people to draw the exact same map, to spill the milk exactly the same way. So Dan knows if he can find an exact match between a consultant-planted map and one of the legislators' final maps, that is no coincidence. It would mean that legislators had basically just, like, copy-pasted the consultant's maps.
Dan goes diving into the maps, and bang.
We found a map that was submitted supposedly by a citizen that had the same genetic makeup of that final map.
It was the last map submitted just before the deadline. And this citizen's District 5 map is packed exactly the same way the legislator's District 5 map is. Dan knows this can't be a coincidence. Whoever submitted this map has to be a partisan plant.
So the lawyers that Dan had been working for, they find the name of the guy who submitted this map just under the deadline. And it's a guy named Alejandro Posada.
Next up, we have Alejandro Posada.
First off, I'd just like to thank the committee for...
That map has his name on it. He also testified at a public meeting. But no one had ever heard of this guy. He's not a known Republican operative in Florida. So who is he?
You are a college student at FSU.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you.
This map was submitted by an FSU undergraduate who had little, if any, map-making experience.
But instead of this being like a huge gotcha moment, like, we just found the partisan who drew the maps, that undergrad, Alejandro Posada, says, wait, what are you guys talking about? I did go to a hearing, but I never submitted a map. I don't know, maybe someone just, like, stole my name off the sign-in sheet and submitted a map in my name?
So they can't prove Alejandro's map came from a consultant. Until one day, a lawyer working on this case, a guy named Fritz, calls Dan up and he says, hey, Dan, swing by. I have something for you.
And I remember Fritz handing over a flash drive in the shape of a silver bullet.
This flash drive is full of secret maps drawn by Republican consultants. Dan's been trying to get his hands on these for years. It was a court order that forced the Republicans to hand them over. But now that he does have them, it's just 4 weeks before the trial is set to start.
So trying to get one of these puzzles and do it with a clock ticking away.
Dan and his crack team of graduate students start combing through this cache of secretly drawn partisan maps that they've just gotten, and they zero in on one map that has a very interesting name.
It was called Perfect Pieces.
Someone needs to help them name these better.
Exactly. Maybe they should come up with imperfect pieces next time.
But... or like, we're totally not rigging the process version 4.
Right. That may have been a little better.
Perfect Pieces was a little too perfect. District 5 was drawn exactly the same in Perfect Pieces, the partisan drawn map, in Alejandro Posada's map, and in the final legislative map. Dan found the match, these maps where milk was spilled in exactly the same pattern.
Now they are ready for trial.
First case on our docket today is the League of Women.
The secret mapmakers behind Perfect Pieces are unmasked during that trial. Republican consultants testify that they
drew drafts of Florida congressional maps. They were later submitted to the legislature under the name Alex Posada.
But the consultants say, we don't know how Alex Posada got our maps. Here's one of them, Rich Heffley, being questioned at the trial.
Can now you explain to me, sir, how it was that this map that was filed in the name of Alex Posada with your districts in it?
First of all, they're not my districts. Second of all, I won't say what my mom taught me about assuming things, but I will tell you that I don't know Mr. Posada. I didn't have anything to do with submitting maps, and I don't know how they got in the public domain.
Republican consultants say, we don't know how people got our maps. And even if we did hand them off, our maps weren't drawn with partisan intent. But then a piece of evidence emerges to prove intent that is pretty damning. We'll tell you what Dan found coming up after the break.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home, Rocket Mortgage lets you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Go to rocketmortgage.com/money.
As soon as you wake up, you need the latest. That's why Up First is here. It's NPR's morning news podcast. In just 10 minutes or so, you can start your day informed. Listen to Up First on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan submits this report to the lawyers that shows the maps were designed to game the Voting Rights Act. And it was a really sneaky way to hide partisanship under the guise of being fair to people of color.
They had packed more black voters into District 5 than it had ever had, more than was needed to elect a person of color. Enough that it would likely hit this specific legal threshold. Hitting that threshold meant the district was protected by the Voting Rights Act. So if Democrats ever wanted to unpack District 5, it would be very, very hard.
And when the judge realizes, along with everyone else, what has happened, he issues a scathing ruling. He says Florida Republicans have made a mockery of the democratic process. He orders them to redraw the lines.
And many years and lawsuits later, Florida finally does. But the Florida legislature couldn't agree on the maps. So in the end, the courts drew them, just in time for the 2016 elections. In these new maps, District 5 gets unpacked. And the claim that unpacking District 5 would hurt minority candidates did not pan out. In fact, when voters from District 5 were now spread out across several districts, three of those districts elected people of color.
Once the maps are redrawn, politicians actually start to have to fight for their seats. And in a lot of cases, their positions start to change.
Now politicians can't just politic to their base. They have to appeal to everyone. Politicians start shifting positions on issues like the minimum wage, healthcare, guns. Like this one state senator, she previously had a 100% rating with the NRA. And after the lines shift, she starts saying things like,
I do not support having guns on campus. I do not support having guns in airports. I don't support having guns in school zones. I don't support those things.
So tens of millions of dollars and 4 years of litigation later, was it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think, you know, in the end, it was definitely worth it, not because it elected Democrats or minorities, but because these maps were objectively fair. It does open up the process, if only under threat of subpoena.
This thing that Florida did, outlawing partisan gerrymandering, the Supreme Court might do it too for the rest of the country. The court just heard two cases about it and is going to issue rulings later this month.
I talked to a ton of people in Florida, lawyers, politicians, consultants, Democrat and Republican, and a lot of them said, look, some shady partisan stuff did go on in District 5. But remember why District 5 was created and gerrymandered in the first place, so that people of color had a fair shot at getting elected? Gerrymandering helped fix that. And as long as race and political affiliations stay as tangled as they are in this country, it will be really hard to figure out how to draw the lines. So, rest of America, take note. We always love to hear what you think of the show. Email us, planetmoney@npr.org, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at Planet Money.
Today's show was produced by Sally Helm and Megan Tan. Our supervising producer is Alex Goldmark, and Brian Erstad edits the show.
Special thanks to the many people who spoke with us for this story, including Ellen Frieden, Alex Patton, Beverly Colson-Neal, Michael McDonald, Mike Fasano, and those who spoke with me on background or off the record. You know who you are. Thank you. I'm Karen Duffin.
And I'm Noelle King. Thanks for listening.
In the original version of this story, we misidentified the Republican consultant who we played testifying at trial. It was Rich Heffley, not Frank Terraferma.